Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, we were the young Americans, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's also here.
All right.
And it's the Gene Genie himself, Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, that's nice. Doing?
You all right?
You sounded a bit like prosecuting attorney Ken Kratz from Making a Murderer.
Then. I am Ken Kratz.
I am the prize.
I am the prize.
Ready?
I have an expensive house.
Marcus, to get from experience, it's probably best just to let him get this out of the way.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on.
Shall I tell my joke I astounded with
you? Ball!
Shall I tell a joke?
I'll tell you something now. Marcus wasn't listening, and right. Neither Jim or I enjoyed it. But please continue.
Why don't they call space food BuzzFeed? Because Buzz Aldrin ate it first.
Thousands of reasons.
Second.
Is the answer.
Yeah, right.
Old Skulls didn't hold back against Manchester United as they laboured to a win against Sheffield United. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in charge. He said, the players are bored, the fans are bored, everyone's bored. You look across at the bench and Van Gaal looks bored as well.
The chairman of the board, Iggy Pop, friends with him.
Mates with
Good.
David.
Yes.
Now, this made me laugh as well. When Van Gaal was asked why fans had left early, he replied, maybe because we haven't scored. Maybe the traffic. When I was looking at matches to analyse an opponent, I have done that also. I leave the stadium 5 minutes before. You can be very negative, but we're in the next round.
Yeah.
Simply not having it.
He did go on to say, what do I have to do now? React to Paul Scholes? You want that?
She played the saxophone.
Big applause. Well, yeah. Well, how would you make Manchester United more exciting, Jim?
Well, the main part of the criticism really is the tactics, isn't it? It's just that they are incredibly boring to watch. No one's enjoying that. So what I would do, I would harness modern technology. And if within the stands, the fans in the stadium were bored enough, they could use an app to implement the Wheel of Tactics.
Okay,
so I like it, Jim.
What it would be.
I like it.
But Louis van Gaal would have to spin the wheel, grudgingly, no doubt. And there'd just be a different set of tactics on it that they would then have to implement. One would be sub on a legend. Every day at Man
Paul
United.
Paul Scholes, if you're going to have a moan
about
it, Scholes. If you're going to moan from the sidelines, get yourself on there.
Paul Scholes could do a job.
Would they have to have another circle for the spinny thing
to get the players. Else, yeah.
No, it's Karol Pabarski. No.
Imagine that, though, as you're spinning. It lands on Scholes. It's landing on Clayton Blackmore.
That would just be one of the options. Sub on a legend would be one of the options on the board, and every match day would have a designated legend.
Right,
you know,
okay.
I assume they'd be doing match like hospitality
like
tours anyway. Yeah, absolutely. You'd have a similar thing with a fan, although that wouldn't be designated. Just to, you know, that would
get
that
all
would
the
be
seat guys
random.
On from the front row.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
they'd be great. They've put a shift in there watching this. They deserve a run.
And they'll have heard all the tactics being shouted.
Exactly. Yeah, they're in.
They understand
for a long time.
Yeah,
they've got the best season in the house. Yeah,
definitely. So also you'd have attack. So the formation would change. The rule would be that you could only have two players, including the goalkeeper, in their own half at any one time. But otherwise, just all out attack. And one for them would be to just do a song at the end.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I'm on board with all of this.
Variations on that. The wheel of tactics.
Yeah,
that's
like
how
it,
I'd change
like
it,
Jim.
Because he's not going to change it, is he?
An excellent start to the show, Luke.
I'd give a Louis van Gaal a saxophone.
That's it.
Yeah.
What, just hand it to him.
Yeah. So
what?
Every time he goes to sort of shout, he doesn't really do much during the game. He sits on his thing with his little clipboard. So it makes it funny because he very rarely says anything. But when he does say something during a game, you just hear.
Mean he has to play the saxophone?
Yeah.
What would be good, if when giving instructions to the players, different famous saxophone riffs would mean different things.
Yeah. Well,
the opposition
yeah.
team could, it couldn't work
I
out
mean,
what was
it's,
happening.
It's one or two, isn't it? It's a Careless Whisper and it's
Baker Street.
Yeah,
Baker Street.
Yeah.
One means. Attack one means attack more.
Yeah,
it's actually a fantastic saxophone reprise in Candidate on the David Bowie Diamond Dogs album.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Apt. Maybe you could do that. It's quite haunting, though. It's quite haunting.
There's one in Modern Love that's quite playful.
It's quite haunting, though, what I'm talking about. So you could only probably use that when they've been knocked out the Champions League quite late at night, like 10:30 at Old Trafford when it's dark.
Give big applause.
Yeah. I think,
applause, lady.
I would make Louis van Gaal for the rest of the season only able to communicate with anyone at all in football via a saxophone. And whether he chooses to allow to play or not, is up to him.
Is he allowed to take out the mouthpiece slash reed?
He can replace the reed when it withers and dies and needs a new one.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right, Pete.
Half and half and half scarves.
Yes.
What's the third half?
I was going to say.
The fans, because they are the 11th man.
What are the other two halves?
The two teams.
The thirds, you mean?
That would make everything more exciting.
Do you chop the scarves into thirds?
Well, you wouldn't chop them. Then you're just making scarves, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark?
Where did you
you're
get
making
him,
scarves,
Mark?
Mark, you're making scarves again. Stop making scarves.
If you destroy one scarf, two more scarves appear.
Yes.
Hang on.
Mark, Chester United.
Pete, what's your answer?
It's half and half and half scarves.
Okay.
Do your BuzzFeed joke again.
How can mine be the worst?
I never said it was the worst.
You haven't heard mine yet? Yeah, exactly. Half and half scarves.
Hang on a minute.
That make everything well
exciting. Scarf, but not scarves.
Hang on. So the scarves that are sold around the grounds, you would put them into thirds on the pattern work.
Yes.
And it would be the fans, the manager and the players?
Yes. No, it would be the two teams and the fans of both teams.
Oh, so quarters then?
Two ganars.
No, not quarters. The fans would be as one.
They would be one.
No, I'm not saying yogurt.
Wet yourself.
I thought about that.
Wet yourself now.
To be fair, you could have utilised yogurt here.
David Bowie and Mick Jagger kissing.
That's not in a bed together. That's only half libelous now.
Okay.
Half and half and half scarves.
Marcus, wrestle this back.
This is your fault. You made me restart it. Move on to someone else's.
I don't understand.
Mark.
What's on the scarves?
I've just told you the two teams and the crowd. The fans. The supporters.
Okay, silly
for crying out loud.
I've got you.
Get on with it.
Are you sure you don't want yoghurt?
Get on with it.
All right, okay. Mine would be everyone throws yoghurt on the pit. No, it would be. I thought, similar to Jim's, actually, I'd have new scarves. No, I would say every time the crowd chant attack, which is what they do when they get bored.
Attack.
That's when it's like, right, this is ridiculous. We've got to act as best we can. So they chant. One of the players has to go over to the dugout, put a fancy dress outfit on as a superhero.
Yeah.
Every time they receive the ball, they either have to try and take on every opposition player or shoot on sight.
No, yeah, I like that.
And act like a superhero.
Yeah, that would be fun.
A lot of Premier League teams do the thing where, or a lot of teams in general, one of my university teams did it, where if you have a terrible time of it, you have to wear the Brazil shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's like an ironic thing.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing a picture. I forget who it was, which team it was now, but it was someone quite famous who's obviously had a terrible time of it in training the day before, was wearing a Brazil, but the classic 98 Brazil shirt.
Yeah.
And in marker pen, someone had written, "I've had a stinker." And I had to wear that for the whole training session.
Nice. I think Newcastle did that with some leopard print trousers once.
It's quite a, quite a common thing, yeah.
George R.R. Martin, obviously the guy who wrote Game of Thrones, says that whenever anyone asks him when the next book's going to be out, he kills a Stark. So similarly, every time they chant attack, attack, attack,
he kills
Van
a Scarf.
Harper just, yeah. Can I just sub a player off.
Yeah.
Just not replace them with anyone, just take a player away.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better sort it out, otherwise you're going to be down to eight men.
I don't care much for old Scholesy chipping off from the sidelines. It doesn't seem like it was his style back in the day. Now he's always doing
strange,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I think he's been holding it back.
Yeah,
for many a year.
He wouldn't even do so much as an interview, would he?
No,
yeah. That's true. Yeah, he wasn't very vocal.
To but be fair, I mean, he saved himself.
It's kind of his job now, isn't it? And he has to have an opinion, and he's certainly got very strong opinions about Manchester United.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The trap that these pundits have to fall into. Like, I'm sure Robbie Savage doesn't want to be getting dug out by John Terry in press conferences, but it is part of his job to have opinions.
I don't think Savage cares. I'm sure he quite liked that because it gave him more publicity.
But the thing, if you look at those classic United class of 92 players. You've got like the Neville brothers are doing their management and coaching thing. Beckham doesn't seem to be that bothered about football
Valencia.
Anymore. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're actually doing something, right?
Beckham's trying to get his own team in Miami. Is he still doing that?
Yeah, but well, if you let me, I'm saying to you, Scholes is the only one who seems to be chipping off about football. The others are actually going out doing stuff. Giggs is doing this thing with United, of course. So I would have said back in the day, but if I had to predict, Scholes would be the last person to be doing this punditry thing. So it's a bit of an odd reversal.
It is. Any more for any more?
Let's get into the main husk of the show, if you will.
Yeah. Lovely.
Don't you need to give out some points?
No.
Yeah. I mean, I
like your answer, but I would have liked it on a different week.
Jim
Marcus.
Deserves,
would you?
Jim deserves the points.
Yeah. I think Pete's got the points.
Yeah, Jim's got the points. Give it to Jim for crying out loud.
Hand them yourself.
I'm like letting Hewitt's a pond. There you go, Jim.
Yeah,
there you are. Jim's got the
get
points.
Get some Hawkeye.
Jim's got the Ballon de points. Mm. It's the FA Cup third round. It's well underway. It's well underway. Exeter City drew with Liverpool. My goodness, what a start. The first match of the round, I think.
I love Friday night football. I don't care if against modern football people hate me for saying it. I bloody well love it.
Yeah.
I'm drunk all the time, though.
Yeah, but that's not a Friday-specific problem, is it?
You said that when Monday night football came back. Well, someone please think of the drunkards.
Yeah. Whenever people ask me to do stuff, I say, but I'll be drunk.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Do you want to come drinking, Pete?
I'm already drunk.
Do you want to get drunk? Too late again. Yeah. Exeter led twice, but Liverpool forced a replay.
Yeah.
Plucky Liverpool.
The highlight was old Kloppo in the little tea kitchen.
It was.
Enjoyed that.
Very understrength Liverpool side.
Yeah.
Not understrength, just bloody young. They started with the second youngest team in their history and they ended the match with their youngest
oldest
team ever.
Team.
Did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, with their youngest team in their history.
That is crazy, isn't it?
The last time it was like 62 was like in anywhere close. 22 years old and something.
Home scoring from a corner for Exeter.
Yeah, another nightmare for Bogdan, Matt.
Please. Pitch was like a flipping Bogdan, wasn't it?
Enrique had a poor time of it as well. That's some point from grace.
I'd wondered where he was and why he had become so invisible, and my questions have been answered. Yeah.
I like how...
I'm pretty sure the striker wondered where he was on that goal as well.
Every time I get a favourite player, they always leave and just mess their lives up. So
Jose Enrique, who's next on your hit list?
It'll be Mitrovic.
Oh, yeah, it will be, won't it? Yeah. And he's prime candidate for it, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not even sawed, to be fair.
No.
Has Mitrovic become your favourite player just because you really want him to be good, or is it based on anything you've actually seen him do?
I had that with Nugent, didn't I?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
The Exeter keeper, Olejnic, I think it was, made a fantastic save from a Benteke header in that game.
Oh, that was brilliant. The one-handed one, was that?
It was close range.
Oof. Goalkeepers at all levels of professional football, to me, largely seem good.
Bogdan?
Yeah. I would like to reserve a special exception for Bogdan.
Yeah.
It's all about decision-making, isn't it?
I don't think he's good.
That's where everyone falls down.
I don't think he's good, and I don't think Federici is very good either. And I don't think Gazzaniga's that good of a sound. There's not that many good keepers. No, but whenever you see a high profile game between a top Premier League team and in this case a League Two team, invariably, and it normally happens around this sort of weekend of the season and third round of the FA Cup, invariably a keeper or two impresses. And you think, how are they playing at such a low level? I think the standard of goalkeepers generally is a lot higher than it is outfield players at that level.
Yeah, I'd have that.
You'd have that, wouldn't you?
I would.
Bogdan had yet another game he would rather forget, I would have thought.
Mm. It's unfortunate for him, isn't it? Because it is difficult to stay in any sort of form if you're not playing.
And yeah, of course.
Direct from a corner against Exeter.
It's not ideal.
It is not ideal. And it's not ideal for Liverpool to play another game.
Klopp couldn't believe it.
I think it was almost like he didn't know the rule.
Yeah.
He even said, I can't believe we have to play another game.
I heard him on 5 Live this morning saying basically, for no reason, I presume he was talking because Liverpool, because there's Premier League games this week. Mm. He was just going, basically warning Pep Guardiola. Stopping short of just saying, don't come here. There's way too many games.
Amazing.
Yeah, they play all through the winter and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't realise, or perhaps people who know him didn't realise there was a second leg of the League Cup semi-final. Mm. I think when they won the game, everyone's going, you're going back to Wembley. And he's like, no, there's another leg to play.
Yeah. Crazy. The fact that they've got to play Exeter again, it's a loss for them with the injury list they've got, but they should have won the game. I mean, he had players like Milner and Lucas on the bench. He could have played a slightly stronger team and they would have bypassed that need for a replay.
Slightly
hopefully.
Disrespectful to Exeter as well, I suppose you could argue. Clearly, they assumed they would just brush them aside.
Yeah, I guess they did. I don't know whether Klopp just thought.
I think that's disrespectful.
But they didn't win the game. They put out the youngest side ever.
He's got to manage his squad, hasn't he? Yeah. And if he's got loads of injuries and he's thinking, right, we've got the Premier League, we're playing. You know, against the League Two side. They should be beating a League Two side.
Yeah, but as Luke said, though, there are players on the bench that could have made a difference. And you've got to have some sort of, you know.
I mean, I agree with Marcus on this point. I'll tell you why. Because I remember a Mick McCarthy side a while back getting in a bit of trouble for fielding what was deemed an understrength side because they wanted to try and stay in the Premier League. Mm. Now, if Jurgen Klopp fields what is clearly an understrength side there against Exeter in the FA Cup, presumably because he wants to protect his players because he wants to achieve something in the league, is that not exactly the same principle? Mm. That's why you've always got to back a manager to pick whatever teams players he wants, even if it is a bunch of teenagers, because he is the manager of the team. And those players are on the books at Liverpool, presumably because they're either going to be good enough or they are already good enough. And so the manager's got to be completely trusted.
Yeah, you can't have an official position on players being rubbish.
No.
It's not how it works.
It's not for anyone else to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think when people say it's disrespectful, and I know you're not one of these people, Jim, and I know you weren't saying that, but it strikes me as the kind of, you know, that old boys club, the Sam Allardyces types. Mm.
German.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's disrespectful.
Yeah.
No, the team that person's managing, just because he's a mate of yours, they're in a few divisions below.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to play the full strength side. They're not playing Barcelona in the Champions League or something.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think, you know, Benteke is clearly a top line, in theory at least, though he's not in great form at the moment, but a top level striker, international striker. Bogdan's played in the Premier League and came from a Championship side, which are still a couple of divisions above Exeter. Lloris was on loan at Villa, I believe. There are players around there, that team. Of course, there were some we never heard of, but there were players who have featured in those games. And the guy who played up front with Benteke certainly played before. So there were still players of quality there. And I don't think Exeter City would care. Their fans certainly didn't seem to care.
No.
In the 10 years' time, if they beat Liverpool, no one's going to say, do you remember the team it was? No one's going to care. It'll just be Exeter beat Liverpool in the Cup and they're in the fourth round. That's the most important thing for them.
And the replay will give them a fair whack of money as well. Mm.
That was interesting, actually, because I heard a bit of a myth bust on that. And you're right about the Anfield thing, but the guy from Eastleigh was saying, you know, people think we make a load of money from getting a big team and getting a record attendance at our own ground.
Right,
but actually, we have to pay so much more for police and so much more for other stuff that we don't end up making that much.
Right.
So
they want their away time.
Yeah, basically they do. Yeah.
They do.
And we had the hat.
We did.
We did have the hat because he wasn't sure what he was going to go for. He was going to go for either the wax hat or the Pogba hat, but we got the Pogba hat.
Did you hear what he said about why he does it? He said that he does it for his players, and his players look at me and see me dress a lot more snappily than the other manager. As far as they're concerned, we're already 1-0 up.
Yeah. Amazing. Let's hope they get Wickham Wanderers.
Yeah,
Gareth Ainsworth is a suave man. Yeah. He should become sort of like English football's official stylist.
He used to be amazing. He used to be like a pub rock covers band when he was at QPR. I know that. I don't know if he still is, but he definitely was.
There was a nice piece on Thursday, like just talking about his influence, how he's turned on the Swansea job a couple of times because he's got loads of 5-year plans, and he's like the second longest running manager,
isn't
he?
Behind Arsene Wenger.
He's second only to Wenger, isn't he?
Wow.
And he's involved in everything, even like the kit lady. Apparently, he's involved with her contract and stuff like that because he sees it as important and he gets involved in every aspect of the club.
Yeah,
so he's a footballing auteur.
Yeah, he is. Mm. He basically said he didn't enjoy his footballing career, but he loves managing, and that's his life.
Would you call him a good football man?
Yeah. I would call a good football chap.
I don't particularly enjoy my football career either. So
good enough. Solid football chap.
Yeah.
Well, he's got Chapo.
He's got his replay back at Anfers.
He has. Oxford United won't need a replay against Swansea.
What a game.
That was League two, Oxford United.
That was game of the weekend for me.
Brilliant, wasn't it?
Really enjoyable.
I'm surprised there weren't more cup upsets because the Premier League has been, because the Premier League has been one big cup upset, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone can beat everyone else. I just think the cup just went, nah.
I think we were close. I mean, we'll go through them, of course. But Oxford United, yes, that was without a doubt an upset. and you could say the roof was on fire.
It was.
He was indeed.
Kemar Roof, highly rated.
I'm sure other people have said that. I've not heard them, so that is an original thought.
The always excellent Kelly Wells said it, I think. This week, yeah.
Kindred Spillage.
New Jamie Vardy.
Technically on the payroll.
That's right. Yeah. Great minds.
It was a fantastically paced game, and it was exactly what you wanted from a cup tie because Oxford kept getting their noses in front, and Swansea had to get
themselves
up. But didn't they go 2-1 then 3-1?
They did.
And then Swansea had to open themselves up, and that made for a lot more interesting encounter.
The pace Roof had, you know, it is a real leveler. If you've got a player that quick, it can absolutely just cause carnage. And that's exactly what happened.
Were you pleased for Big John to get in the start? He hasn't been around the team very recently, has he?
What's your official position on Big John? He's his biggest fan, literally, as far as I know.
Yeah. He needs to go and save Newcastle United.
Come on in. Come on in, John.
What's that, John? Your career's only halfway ruined.
We just want someone to take some shots.
Someone who might care a little. Who's not aware of the television schedule.
I was very pleased for Michael Apton as well because he was...
Yeah, ex-Pompey.
Yeah, but he obviously had no chance of doing any sort of job at Portsmouth because they were a basket case at the time. So I'm pleased he didn't get his made it in the sun.
This round of the FA Cup highlights are always really funny because in any post-match interview, it's like, ex-Pompey.
I know. I thought that.
Swimming around that level of football.
They're men of the world, not your regular rebel. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Wycombe Wanderers, they drew one all with Aston Villa.
We've tipped up Wycombe Wanderers to beat Aston Villa in the previous show. They were very close.
You see, I know obviously that's not an upset, but it's still a great draw.
Yeah.
That's again not what Villa want.
That's great for those players.
Yeah, but like Villa are thinking, all right, let's take care of this lot. Mm. It might give us a bit of encouragement. Might give us a bit of a boost.
Am I right in saying the only games? This I have to say this out loud to make sure it's right. The only games Villa have won this season are the opening day of the season in the league and then beating Birmingham in the League Cup.
I think
that was on the 22nd of September.
That must be so annoying for Birmingham.
But wasn't the trouble at the end started because Guzan and Lescott were having a chewing gum spitting competition in the dugout. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I saw some fans started bashing on the back of the dugout, and then Guzan and Lescott turned the F off. So that's how it all started, and that's why Micah Richards had to go over. And
I mean, bless him.
I feel sorry for Richards.
Well,
I feel sorry for him. Like technically, he was in the England lineup. He played in the Olympics, didn't he?
But did he play for Team GB? Did he? He did.
And like
he scored against Wickham, did he?
Well, he did score the goal.
He was captain of Manchester City. Yeah. Then I think Zabaleta took over from maybe.
Yeah, he
went to Fiorentina, and Fiorentina went to a back three. So then he was just out.
Yeah,
and now he's at Villa, having at 27, being the captain of a team. Yeah. It looked like they're going down.
Is he the new
Kevin
Keegan?
Yeah. He's an unlucky man.
He is unlucky.
I just think he's got to take responsibility for himself
for the choices he's made.
Yeah,
as a man wearing that T-shirt.
Carry on.
He was a right back at City, as you say, and I think the assumption of Richards was always that he'd move into the centre, and it's not been going so well for Villa. And Remy Gard played him on the right, and I know it's against a lower division opposition, but he looked way more at home at right back,
he
and he's certainly
time,
an upgrade on Alan Hutton.
Yeah.
Hutton's been a problem. For Villa all season. He's not been playing well, and teams have been targeting him even.
I think
maybe moving him back out is actually a smart move.
Villa fans seem to want that to happen, even though he's probably him and Lescott are probably the best centre backs, even though they need someone on the right as well.
I feel sorry for Richards. He's trying.
Yeah.
At least, I don't know what the state of play is with a lot of those Aston Villa players, but Richards does come across as someone who really, really cares and is trying. I mean, the other week, I think, they lost 3-2 at home or something, and he scored. The joy and kind of outpouring of emotion when he scored just showed you how much he cares. And so for him to go over to the fans and then to berate him and start chanting, "You're not fit to wear the shirt," I think direct that as somebody else.
He doesn't want to be at this end of the Premier League. This is... nobody new to does. Him, isn't it? Of course nobody does, but he's someone who really looked like he was... I mean, he looked like he could be an England captain at points when he was really, really young. You know, he has
oh, he was very, physical, very highly rated.
Yeah, his physical attributes are absolutely amazing.
It was a while
amazing.
Ago now, though.
It was, but he's still, what, 27? So he's going to be thinking, come on, I can do this at a high level, and it must be so frustrating to be in a team where it's just, you know, going so badly.
It shows you actually what sort of confidence and momentum can do. This weekend of the football season is a really good example of that, because you've got Exeter, is the exception aside. You've got Oxford United, who are doing quite well. Swansea are doing terrible, and that manifested itself. Yeah. Wycombe Wanderers are doing well. They're sixth in League Two. Villa are in a terrible state, and that manifested itself. Eastleigh are flying high in the conference, and Bolton are in a terrible state, and they managed to do something. So it can happen. I mean, we were probably a little bit, maybe a goal or two short of a really upsetty Saturday.
Yeah.
But Sunday obviously delivered on that. But it was very interesting to see the games and the goals and stuff like that.
It certainly was. I mean, Eastleigh, that was incredible, wasn't it? They were on
pitch.
We talked about on the preview show about how groundsmen should be taking rakes and pickaxes and bazookas to their pitch.
Didn't need to at Eastleigh.
No, it was already, well, clearly they'd prepared it well in advance. And they were cruising until Shola Ramiobi came on.
Yeah.
And he missed a good chance.
Just to show everyone how to do it. Just to show everyone how not to do it.
Yeah. That's don't worry, I was offside. You weren't offside.
Do you reckon when he missed that chance, he was going, I was worried people wouldn't recognise me.
But likewise, one of the greatest moments, I'll go as far to say,
of the weekend,
I've ever seen in football.
Wow.
Eastleigh. The fan on the pitch,
was brilliant.
Who nearly became a part of the attack.
The ref didn't even ref saw it and let it carry on.
Yeah,
give it the old advantage.
At one point, it was going on, and I thought, if that ball drops to him, he's going to put that in.
Yeah,
he's going to put that in. And he was keeping up with play, and I was thinking, yes. And the ball, unfortunately, went out the other way. And then the fan just sort of tried to put the brakes on, and he slid. Yeah, of course,
2 points on that.
Bottom.
One, when he came on, he was so happy, had his arms up in the air. Yeah. At the same time, the referee was doing the advantage sign, so I thought they were doing the same thing.
He thought, hang on, I'm part
the referee,
of it.
Yeah, the referee's going, go on, son, get involved.
Secondly,
be a hero.
The only man who's ever come on the field to emulate a referee rather than a player.
Secondly, he did what we've all done in the past, usually as children. He's gone onto some wet and muddy grass and a normal pair of shoes and tried to stop suddenly. It's not happening.
Yeah. No.
You're ending up on your backside.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the ball had dropped to him and he put that away, that would be the greatest moment in the history of football.
It would have been brilliant. Could you imagine, though, how genuinely annoyed that Eastleigh would have been? Like, if their chance at going 2-0 up had slipped away.
No, I think they would all celebrate.
If he had put that in, Danny Baker would have dusted off the old VHS video.
Oh, speaking of Danny, there is a clip from a Danny Baker, you know, when he used to do the old videos, as you say, and it was a big game. It might have been at, like, Derby County or something in the 70s, where a fan actually gets a shot away.
Yeah.
He came on the pitch.
How does he do with it?
It's not a bad effort. I mean, it sort of calmly goes into the keeper's arms.
On target.
Yeah.
On target. That's one. Does that get added to the total?
But when he did it, though, as he does it, the defender is near him, and the defender kicks him right up in the air. It's so unfair.
It's a different time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Late in that game as well, when Bolton equalised, a Bolton fan managed to get on the TV gantry and start conducting the Bolton fans.
That's magnificent.
There's a lot of fan interaction in there.
The FA Cup's about complete anarchy.
You just don't get that in the Champions League.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Bolton's financial affairs, they're in complete anarchy as well. Yeah. It's like 14 million to 7. Wigan are going to buy their training ground. It's madness.
You're saying the replay's better for Bolton's training ground?
Wigan are apparently going to lease. They've already sold off, I think, 4 million worth of their offices, Bolton. So they're just selling the family jewels, really.
Lennon was interviewed before the game on 5 Live because he obviously didn't want the game to go ahead because the pitch is in such a terrible state. Mm. And the referee was interviewed slightly before him, and I could tell, even though it was on the radio, that he had a little clip in his eye. Well, the player's safety is the most important thing, you know, and you know, but people have travelled a long way. You know, he's basically saying, this is happening. This is happening. Yeah. And Neil Lennon said, the problem is Bolton are in a situation where if anyone makes an offer for any of our players, we've got to accept it. And I was like, right, that is probably understood because Bolton are in terrible financial strain. Don't say that on the radio. Yeah. The transfer window's open now. Don't say that on the radio.
Well, I mean, they are bottom of the Championship. So
they're clawing their way through.
Oh, dear me. Yeah, no, I'm glad that one went ahead.
Yeah, I am too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
My poor old mate, he's a Newport County fan. Yeah. Their first third round of the FA Cup it might be their first ever, or certainly for a long, long time, travelled to Newport from London, called off.
Was it?
Oh.
Shame.
Dear, oh dear.
Shame, shame.
Could they bid for that player? Could they bid for that fan who ran on the pitch?
Shows
he's got a bit of pace. I mean, in those trainers as well, on that muddy pitch, he was keeping up with it.
Bubble hat as well.
Good for
bubble
slide hat. Tackles.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Bristol City were close.
Yeah, that was
against
that
West Brom.
Sickner.
Injury time equaliser.
His name escapes, but the guy who manages Bristol City, we always hate on.
Cotterill, yeah.
Yeah,
you hate on him.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. He's a great example, because after this game, he was saying that, like, that West Brom should have never had the chance to put the ball in the net. And it's like, well, there was a free kick with like 30 seconds left, like 25 yards out from goal.
We claimed it was 5 seconds. Yeah. That was his issue.
The referee's not going to blow up after giving that free kick. He's not going to give him the free kick and then go, right, that's it. That's full time. Defend it. You've got to defend it. There's no excuse for that.
Defend it.
Yeah, I've got to defend it.
You're not in the dressing room, Luke.
Take that, Bristol City. You monsters.
In many ways, this studio is like a classic football dressing room.
What do you think?
There's banter flying around.
Yeah.
There's a loud man who smells of Lynx.
And Pete's very muddy.
Smells of Lynx.
I got the old Lynx Africa for Christmas, didn't I? Standard.
Lovely, lovely.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Portsmouth were close, Luke.
I ruined that, didn't I?
You did. You texted the WhatsApp group.
Portsmouth away to Ipswich, Championship Ipswich.
Portsmouth went 2-1 up with 5 minutes left, and I tweeted something, get in there, Pompey. 86 minutes, Ipswich ignited.
But maybe that's what they think that means.
Yeah.
Oi.
You texted the WhatsApp group saying, I've kept quiet until now, which is what Keegan said before I started moving.
That's what I was saying. That's literally what I was saying.
I should have messaged you. Will you win the game, Luke? Yes.
No. Yeah. One word, Luke. Will they win? Yes. My theory on the Portsmouth thing, just to bore you all to death very quickly, is Please. That when this was drawn, I was like, oh, this is a terrible draw for Portsmouth.
Yeah,
because
it's
not going to be on TV. They're going to get beaten.
It's not a glamour one.
Then about half hour before the game, I thought, actually, one of Portsmouth's biggest problems this season, especially at home in the league, is that they're expected to win, right? And so other teams tend to set up really negatively and make it hard for them. And I was thinking, if they play someone slightly better than them, they're not going to do that because the pressure's going to be on them. I only saw the highlights and it looked like that's what happened. Ipswich came out unexpected to win and Portsmouth were able to play their stuff and Portsmouth actually played some nice football. So I actually think in the replay at Fratton Park, Ipswich will be expected to win again. It might work out well for Portsmouth, so we'll see how they get in the draw, but I'd love them to get past Ipswich and get a Premier League team.
Well, if they get past Ipswich...
Oh, you got it there?
At home to Bournemouth.
Oh! Fancy that.
Could be lovely, a South Coast derby.
Lovely.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
If they can do that. That would be very, very good indeed. Hartlepool were unlucky against Derby.
Pete Dawson's Hartlepool.
That's right, yeah.
And Clough's as well.
Yeah. Derby are in great nick at the moment, though, aren't they?
I know. Darren Bent were the last... not last minute, certainly towards the end.
Pretty sure Hartlepool went ahead in that game.
Yeah, it was an absolute screamer.
There was
like
some lovely goals.
Lewis Harkins, he was on loan at Spennymoor.
What?
Before Christmas.
Is that an actual place?
Spennymoor, yeah.
Where's that?
Near Hartlepool.
Spennymoor.
Sounds like local dialect for Wetherspoons.
I got the Spennymoor, that's the posh supermarket, to spend a bit more.
Is it not the fictional village in the Bash Street, kid?
What is the fictional village? Is there a village?
I don't know.
And
just
Beano
Town.
Olive's the tea lady.
Just
No, he was playing at Spennymoor for a bit, and he's back in the team, and he performed very well.
Did he score that goal?
No, I think it was man of match.
Okay, well, that goal was a beauty.
Did he set it up? I think he set it up.
He might well have done.
The way Scholler set up that Shearer goal.
Excellent.
Darren Bent, though. Like, they rotated their squad and brought Darren Bent into the fold.
Yeah.
You forget about
England
him, don't
strikers
you?
Fall like stones sometimes.
I think Darren Bent led the line against Portsmouth in the League Cup, and Portsmouth beat them at Fratton Park. And he played up front with Andreas Wyman, I think. But Derby are in much better form now than they were then. They're doing very well.
Clement.
I think they were a bit shocked first half.
He's doing well. At Doncaster, they were close against Stoke, weren't they? Lovely finish from Peter Crouch.
Yeah,
good to see him, Jim.
And Johnny Walters as well.
Oh,
yeah, no,
beauty.
It was good to see Crouch.
Crouch was on the Tottenham Leicester punditry, wasn't he?
Was.
Yeah. He's a very likeable man.
He is. I think it was Trevor Sinclair and Mark Lawrenson made the point on Match of the Day on Saturday.
Mark Lawrenson made a point.
Yeah.
Talked about it.
Stephen
point.
Penis.
That shirt was absolutely shameless as well. That was a real story.
Yeah, that's why he said Stephen Penis. He had to take the heat off his shirt. But yeah, he was saying that there'll be Premier League clubs looking to try and take Crouch on loan because he's not getting a sniff at Stoke otherwise, is he? And that makes sense. I mean, he'd be a very, very good signing for some of the teams down there. Maybe Villa.
God.
Maybe.
You wouldn't take that.
He's played there before.
But it would just suck all the joy out of your life going down there, wouldn't it?
Doncaster midfielder Richard Chaplow was spotted by some Stoke fans on the train on his way home.
This is great.
And they were singing, "You look like a thumb," at him.
Which he does.
Yeah, he's bald because he's got alopecia, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you on high alert after the Andy Cole debacle.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not having this Luke Moore. The new improved Moore 2.0.
Luke Moore.
I just take a lot more notice of medical ailments now. That's all. I've learned from my mistakes. I was about time you did the same, Pete Donaldson. The reason I know this is because I was actually present.
I don't think he does look like a thumb.
I think it's more like a little finger. Possibly an egg, but not a thumb.
I know this because I was there for his debut, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think he made his debut for Burnley at Fratton Park in about 2000.
So I saw his medical certificate.
He was drinking his alopecia medicine.
And alopecia's Richard Chaplow at number 7.
And he suffered from alopecia very shortly after that.
You've had a good Shell before. Newcastle's finest player.
Shelby.
Shelby, God.
This was a strange quote from Jordan Shaqiri recently, while we're on the subject of Stoke City. Recently lifting the lid on Roberto Mancini's methods of treating injured players at Inter. Because Shaqiri had a few injury problems at Inter, but he's done okay at Stoke so far. And he tells a tale which includes the following. I drove for half an hour in a car to have been manipulated by an old man, but he did not help me at all.
Right.
He went on to say, at Stoke there are 7 physios and everything is in a professional manner. What on earth is going on at Inter?
To drive off to see any old strange mountain men.
Has Mancini
He'd
got...
fit in a yurt, to be fair. He's very tiny.
Has Mancini got a sort of checkered track record when it comes to treating players with injuries, though? Because didn't he fall out with Craig Bellamy at Man City? Was that Mancini?
Everyone falls out of Craig Bellamy.
Stocky players.
I might be getting this wrong, because it might not
have been Mancini. Well, he fell out with Tevez, didn't he?
Tevez
falls out of everything, doesn't he?
Yeah, but what's he got against stocky players?
Well, Bellamy, at one point in Man City, Bellamy was in real trouble because he had that knee injury and he had to do his own fitness regime. And one of the managers at Man City told him he couldn't do it and he had to train with the group. And I think it was Mancini. Mm. So there might be a bit of a track record.
Do you think he was manipulated by an old man?
Well, the best of us have been.
To be honest, all of football has been manipulated by an old man.
Everton beat Dagenham and Redbridge 2-0. The highlight of that game was clearly the cat that ran onto
the pitch. I love that.
Goalkeeper Joel Robles had to deal with it.
You would think, hearing about it, that this happened at Dagenham and Redbridge.
Nah,
but it happened at Goodison Park.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Proper spirit of the FA Cup is even the animals can sense it.
How did they get in there?
But do you know what, though, right? If that was a Premier League game, Scudamore would be doing his nutting. That paid for a ticket, that cat did.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe they need the cat's image rights. Yeah. Even though the Premier League, in case it comes back. Thank you very much.
Best animal on the pitch since old Chicken in the Cape at Blackburn.
Yeah, that was good.
Which is criminally underrated.
Yeah. There was a chicken at Porto as well that loads of, I think, substitutes chased and they couldn't catch it and they all tripped over and it was brilliant.
Was it Lazio the pig and the scooter? Was that Lazio?
Sorry, what?
No,
not the same time.
No, was that San Barcelona? Siro. Yeah,
San Siro. Wasn't it?
A pig's head that was thrown at Luis Figo.
The scooter
that
was
the pig alive.
The scooter was a San Siro, and the pig's head was a classic.
I like that the scooter was a San Siro.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that the scooter was.
No,
was
you're
it,
right.
Was it the pig? Scooter as in a Vespa, or as in the Europop artist?
Scooter.
I think it's the Vespa. Yeah.
Whereas the pig driving the scooter did happen at Benfica.
Yeah.
Which everybody missed.
No, it flies around the stadium at Benfica.
Yeah.
On a horrible trebuchet.
Oh dear. And then it's punched by a Newcastle fan.
We had a few tweets after last week saying that a lot of people are into live action role play, saying that it's great to get a mensch for medieval weaponry.
They actually gave
you a couple of tips, and they on medieval armour, Pete, I think.
They did. I mean, I was mainly talking about the horse armour of the video game Skyrim, similar sort of thing, you know. Yeah. It's all oldie worldy, isn't it?
But I know you learnt a lesson.
Lightning bolt!
Lightning bolt.
Marcus, are we all good?
We're just throwing lightning bolts at you, mate. Yeah.
Warsaw, that was an upset away to Brentford.
How's a Polish team allowed in the FA Cup?
Well done, Luke. Well done.
Thanks.
Now, there was another upset as well. The Shrews bounced back after losing 7-1 last week to spring an upset against Cardiff
City. They were heroes.
More animals on the pitch.
Yeah. No, that's their nickname, the Shrews.
I'm fully aware of that.
11 Shrews on the pitch.
The pace on them was unbelievable.
It really was great. Old friend of the Ramble, Murray James, was texting me, make sure you give us a bit. I said, you've had your mention.
Yeah.
And then I thought, actually, that's fair.
It's a good win away from home.
7-1 they lost last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Bouncing back. The old Pardew and Palace, they march on, beat Southampton.
Now, another Pardew derby.
I've kept pretty quiet up till now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to leave this here, and you can inspect it if you want, okay? Mm. Southampton have lost 8 in the last 10. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Koeman, you could come under pressure.
I'm not on high alert yet, but I've moved it up to medium.
Yeah, okay. Well, Palace
blood in it.
Palace are at home to Stoke.
Okay.
In the next round.
Another really boring all Premier League that the BBC will definitely put on TV.
Yeah, that is a tasty one, isn't it? Watford beat Newcastle 1-0.
Cracking ball from Wijnaldum, Pete.
Maybe Klopp
split the defence right into
Newcastle before, were better actually.
You can say that until you're blue in the face, but you got to put the ball in there, haven't you?
No, I didn't say they won. I said they were better.
I'm sort of thinking that Klopp maybe was possibly gone to Newcastle because it was touted that he was one of the names in the frame. Never going to happen.
No.
But maybe that's why he got confused about the later rounds of the Cups.
Oh, I see.
Because he's never seen Newcastle get past the third round of anything.
That's right.
Is it right that they've not won an FA Cup match since 2012?
Yeah. Sorry, I don't even know that for sure, but I'm fairly certain that's the case. Dreadful.
Yeah, would you like us to move on to a different competition?
Bloody dreadful. I think it wasn't Brighton. It's usually Brighton.
Let's move on to the Scottish Cup. And an Athletic 4. Hamilton Academicals 1. The League 2 side beat the Premiership team handsomely. That's an upset, boys.
There's your upset.
4-1 as well. No mucking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And another.
Scottish Cup's getting in on the act.
Of course it is.
Loving it north of the border.
Hearts played the Dandies, didn't they, at home? 1-0. Lovely old job.
We'll see what happens in the league, big boy.
Yeah. The league's on.
Yeah, it is.
The league's on. Marcus probably thinks they get 3 points for that, do you?
The double's on, Jim. And you as an Arsenal fan should know that.
Shush.
I don't
be bringing that curse around here.
Yeah.
I saw the inimitable Andy Brassel a week or two ago potentially touting Spurs for the double at 100-1.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Andy Brassel. Yeah.
Oh, no, he should know better.
Actually,
he?
No, keep it up. Arsenal at home to Burnley in the next round of the FA Cup, Jim.
Yeah.
So you'll scrape a 1-0 there. shall we go to La Liga where there were some bigger scores?
Mm. Yes.
Real Madrid, Zidane's Real Madrid beat Deportivo 5-0. Oh, that's more like it.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
A tough start to his management career. Yeah, he's really slumming it, isn't he?
Deportivo actually aren't doing that bad this season. I think they're sort of seventh or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was one of the sides who were bottom of the league. Mm. But everyone suddenly... I'd like to think they were all like little schoolboys wanting to impress the cool teacher or something. Oh, we've got to play well for Zidane.
It's like when... do you remember that clip of... of Zlatan on the same field as Ronaldo, and he's just staring at him.
Yes.
Like original Ronaldo and proper Ronaldo.
Yeah, yeah.
Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's just staring at him. Yeah. So it's just, oh, God.
Which is seldom do you see Ibrahimovic act like that to another human being.
Any kind of deference would be welcome from that man.
Yeah, do you think?
No, come on. Never change, Zlatan.
What about Cristiano Ronaldo and all this? Not only has he just missed out on the Ballon d'Or again to Lionel Messi, or Lionel Messi, but you would imagine Ronaldo sort of tapping on the Madrid players on the shoulders with his stats compared to Zidane's. I know he's great, but not as many goals. I mean, he's sort of midfielder, played a little bit deeper than me, I'm a midfielder as well. He's good. Had a good career.
What about that volley in the final, Cristiano? No.
Well, I scored in the final as well, that penalty, so again, similar. Just enjoy both of us.
Finals, actually. Yeah.
Carlos whipped the ball in and he just took it first time and I'll hit that tree. Can't do that either, can you, Cristiano?
Can you imagine what Ronaldo's doing right now? Because, you know, as we've gone to, not air, but
press
the
ups.
Studio, he's just lost out on the Ballon d'Or again. He'll be fuming, won't he?
Press ups.
He won't know what to do. Yeah, it'll be press ups. Air boxing, if that's what you call it.
Shadow boxing.
Go home. Shadow boxing. He'll go home and, I don't know, just defrost his freezer with his fists and his pants, just angry.
You could maybe suggest that was his last chance to really win it.
You might say that.
Don't let him hear that.
Oh, it'd be a shame for Lionel Messi to suffer a very serious injury, wouldn't it? that's what Ronaldo's thinking.
Yeah, it's such a shame about old Ronaldo because he's one of the greatest players of all time. His stats are unbelievable, and we're like, yeah.
but does anyone really? I mean, I don't care about the Ballon d'Or really. I'd see it as a bit.
No,
of
no
a
I'm not saying it's a shame the Ballon d'Or. No. I'm saying that we are talking about him like
but
this.
It's more though that you know it means something to them. So it's sort of
it specifically means more to that rivalry, isn't it?
It
specifically means more to him than any other player because he's a bit of an individualist.
Yeah, but Marcus, I think the part of the reason we're talking about him in this way is clearly because he patently gets annoyed about this stuff.
Yeah.
If he didn't care, we wouldn't. If Messi lost out 4 times in a row, I don't think we'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah,
Messi seems to be a lot more humble. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I wonder about that.
He should take a leaf out of Yaya Toure's
blog. Oh, yeah. He took that very well.
We'll come on to that in a sec. Now, but that'll be after a short break.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle the streets.
Company but falls a ramble.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Don't forget the Football Ramble preview show this Friday, sponsored by Bet365, where we make fools of ourselves but have a good time doing it. A little bit more La Liga to talk about. Barcelona 4, Granada 0. Messi scored his 33rd hat-trick of his career.
That is incredible.
That's a lot of threes.
Like almost 100 goals of hat-tricks.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous, yeah. Jimmy.
Change.
There was some funny stuff came out about Luis Suarez. Apparently when they played Espanyol, the referee said at the end of the game, once in the tunnel, Luis Suarez, while the Espanyol players were coming up the stairs, waited for them and shouted at them on various occasions, "I'm waiting for you, come here, you're a waste of space."
Can I be the first to say, here it comes. He's been quiet, isn't he?
Yeah.
He seemed to have, you know, be a little bit of a reformed character, just getting his head down, playing his football. But here we are.
Do you remember when we went to Barcelona? We went to like a football memorabilia shop, and it was all Barcelona, and Espanyol had a really small corner. Maybe he meant that. You're a waste of shop space.
Yeah.
There's no point in being.
Yeah, we should flog more Barcelona mugs.
No one's buying your key rings.
It's impossible to see that shot without being feeling sorry for Espanyol. I think if I lived in Spain, I would automatically want to support Espanyol because of that.
I remember you were looking at the things, and I was outside looking at the animals they have caged up on La Ramblas.
Yeah. I think we ate Barcelona branded crisps as well, did we not?
Oh, we did. Oh, yeah. I ate loads of them.
Yeah,
and drank that beer they gave in the sewers to keep it cool.
Oh, the red cans stuff, of beer. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Estrella? No, it's not.
No. That's Portuguese, I think.
Mabes.
Gary Neville still without his first league win.
I don't want him to get sacked.
Come on, Nev.
He won't get sacked. His mate's the boss.
Oh, yeah.
He's fine. He's fine. He's good for a few seasons.
Everyone starts being like the boss's mate, and exactly, then they lose matches.
You know, he's also got the old, well, you know, this happened to Fergie.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he could do, couldn't he? He could do.
Could pull it out.
Yeah. Sort of happened to Fergie.
Atleti back on top of the league with a win. In 19 games, they've conceded 8 goals in the league.
Fantastic.
It really is. It really is. We're talking about awards, of course. African Player of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang won the award.
Well,
did he
deserve it, though? Did he deserve it with his 26 goals in 27 games or whatever it is?
Breaking a record in Bundesliga.
And I know you're going to come on to what Yaya Toure says in a minute, but the thing about Yaya Toure is, like, it is completely unquestionable. This is a fact. He does not try in a lot of his games. So if that's his own decision, fine, but don't moan about this sort of stuff, because Aubameyang's having a really good time of it at the moment.
Well, as well, Yaya Toure is clearly annoyed that in 2015, Ivory Coast won the Africa Cup of Nations.
Yeah. Mm.
And he should have thus been given the award, because he thinks, obviously, he's the best African player, and of course, matched with that as well, because he said, we favour more what's abroad than our own continent. That is pathetic. But yeah, every award he won, and then he won, what, the previous four?
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with what has happened on in the continent Africa. Of Africa, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's happened with Europe. I mean, right. It's quite startling, really.
He's a strange character, isn't he? We spoke a little while ago about how he was kicking off in the press, saying that nobody sort of mentioned his name as being one of the standout players of last season, even though loads of people did.
Yeah.
And he said something like, I scored 20 goals and got 10 assists, and in reality the figures were something like 11 goals and 7 assists, and like he's got that high an opinion of himself, he can edit things that have already happened be more impressive than they actually were, without bothering to check his own stats. Yeah. He just assumes he's basically twice as good as he's been.
In addition to that, Jim, if you look at his stats, I mean, it's not just about stats, and I'll take the point about Ivory Coast winning the Africa Cup of Nations, but his stats for 2015, he scored exactly half the amount of goals he scored in 2013, 2014. So he's dropped off in many, many measures. So he can't really have any complaints. But I lie to the fact that a lot of time, he doesn't even bother. He does not bother.
Sorry, Jim, go on.
He might as well have just bumped into Aubameyang while he was picking up the award and going, whoa, I'm going to let you finish.
Do a Kanye.
Yeah.
Someone needs to buy him a birthday cake, and pretty quick.
Well, I don't know who actually came up with the stats, but Sky certainly published them. Pellegrini came out and basically said, look, everyone says that he looks a bit leggy in matches, but stats-wise, he does run more than most. And Toure does cover more ground than most in the Manchester City team. He runs more than Fernandinho, for example. He runs more than Sterling. But the most telling stat is that he sprints less and way less than everyone else. Mm. The intensity isn't there. So sprints per match this season, Fabian Delph does nearly 80, and Toure does nearly 20, sort of mid-20s.
That's really interesting.
Which is incredible. And that's probably why he's rarely injured, to be fair. And he's been an ever-present all season. And he scored four of his last five in the last 15 minutes of matches.
He's
played a lot of matches this season, hasn't he?
It's strange with Toure, because if you looked at him when he played at Barcelona, he was box-to-box, and he was superb. And of course, in his first few seasons, I mean, he's still a good player for Manchester City. In his first couple of seasons at Man City, again, he was just incredible, you know. But no, I mean, he's 32 now, so
no one's questioning. No one's questioning.
And I'll leave that there.
No one's questioning he's got the ability. He has got the ability. I think he's played about an average amount of games this season, I think. Mm. But the thing is, my point about Yaya Toure is that if you talk about all that, I didn't know anything about all those stats, but my inkling would be that the amount of effort he puts in running back towards his own goal, it's nowhere near as much as he puts in going towards the other end. And as Marcus said, he used to be a real box-to-box player. In fact, that's what he was sort of really known for. I mean, he played a lot. I think from memory at Barcelona, the season they won the Champions League, I'm pretty sure he played deeper, didn't he?
He played centre-back in the final, I think.
Right, there we go, yeah, so...
He clearly...
Either way, this is all childish. I mean, Aubameyang's having a great time of it.
But if you look at Toure's agent's chat about Guardiola, you know, Pep's a great coach, but the truth is that my grandfather would win the title with Barcelona and Bayern Munich, because they are great big clubs with great players. I mean, that Barcelona side edged out Mourinho's Madrid, of course. I'd like to see Pep take a club that is eighth or ninth and make them champions. And this is, you know, Guardiola sold Yaya Toure when he was at Barcelona. Yeah. Clearly, Toure and his agent are...
in cahoots there.
None
of us need to say it's nonsense, but that team won a treble.
But yeah, great stuff for Aubameyang and a worthy winner. Should we go on to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore?
There I am, guys.
Go on then, old sport.
I've already given you a lot of highlights of my week on this show so far, but I've got some from the listeners here. Michal Maguire, which is an excellent name. I mean, this is from Facebook, so you can never tell if it's the real name or not. But anyway, he says, I retweeted a Mikel Forsell tweet about going to an In-N-Out burger in LA, and the man himself tweeted me back, assuring me that he's training hard. I also once bumped into Yari Littman in the airport, so now all I need to do is meet Sammy Hippier, and I've finished football.
Excellent. Yes. Absolutely excellent.
Yeah, that's excellent.
What else we got? Oh, yeah, this is a good one from Matt Williamson. Maurizio, I think it's Maurizio Sarri, who's the manager of Napoli, was sent off during the game in midweek. And he insisted in the game afterwards that he got sent off on purpose so he could enjoy a cigarette in the stands. there are pictures of him smoking in the stands as well.
Lovely.
Which is fantastic. What else have I got here? Joe Hall's been in touch. Pete, this is a bit of a dig at me and sort of you, I think. He says, my low lot of the week was the trebuchet chat on last week's ramble.
Uh-oh.
At least get your medieval era mechanical artillery devices right, guys. You've embarrassed yourselves there. Can I be the ramble's official military historian? Well, Joe, you've not expanded on that.
Anyone can say that.
And also his attitude's not great there.
We're generally really polite to each other, aren't we?
if anything, the rock's hit you, Luke, and it's bounced into me.
But he's not
the trebuchet.
He's not expanded on it at all.
Let's give him a chance to redeem himself next week.
What's the one that Robin of Loxley and
that's a trebuchet.
Is that not a catapult, isn't it?
When they fire them over the wall.
That was just a spring, wasn't it? It was just pulled back.
Oh, yeah. The trebuchet is the big one with the pulleys and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember.
With the counterweight. Catapult's just the tension of the wood, isn't it?
I think it's pulled back with like a bow and arrow type thing.
Oh, God, we're digging ourselves a massive hole, aren't we?
Just find out for next week, guys.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Any more, Luke?
No, I haven't really got any more.
Michel Platini announcing that he won't be a candidate for FIFA presidency was one of mine. I'm withdrawing from the race for FIFA presidency.
I'm fiddling while the big glass house burns.
You can't fire me, I already quit.
The timing is not good for me. No, it isn't.
because
you're banned and you're not allowed to. I have not been given the chance to play the game. Bye-bye, FIFA. Bye-bye, FIFA presidency.
Oh, my goodness.
He did get a chance to play the game. That's,
yeah, exactly.
That's why we gave him so much bloody rope. Otherwise, he'd just be an horrible accountant man.
Now, I know you'll be a fan of this one, Pete. Los Angeles FC, LAFC, a new MLS team, will join the league in 2018. And big Will Ferrell is co-owner, along with their former player Mia Hamm and a few other business types. Mm.
He played in that match on telly, didn't he?
The charity match. Will Ferrell, he loves his football. I think he was spotted. Was he spotted singing or dancing or some sort of jubilant act with the American Outlaws during the 2014 World Cup in Brazil?
Yeah, rings a bell.
Yeah.
I've got one more highlight here if you want it.
He's a good football man.
From Robert Dinsey, he says, my highlight was Phil Brown's post-match team rollicking. Yeah. Lasting a few minutes shy of 2 hours after Swindon came from 2-0 down to win 4-2 against Brown Southend. That's class. That is your textbook Commonwealth Garden Phil Brown.
Yeah, you know what you're getting there.
The thing about it was, I completely forgot about that, and I actually heard Phil Brown again on the radio after that, and he was absolutely loving it. And he was saying, the thing is, though, and he was doing that thing he does with the interviewer, he uses like his first name. Yeah. The thing is, Gary, I've taken a gamble there. That'll have a payoff or it won't, you know? But I mean, he was going saying stuff like, that's the kind of manager I am, you know? Yeah. It's like massively.
Did I ever say that thing that somebody said on Twitter? I can't remember who said it, so really apologies. Sanchez Flores is what Phil Brown thinks he looks like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think is a beautiful piece of work.
I think he also, Sanchez Flores, is a cross between Phil Brown and Hugh Laurie, isn't
it? House. Yeah, specifically as House.
Yeah. Yeah.
My highlight of the week is the social media narrative that we overuse the word narrative.
So, oh, yeah. Stop saying narrative, guys.
Stop
saying yogurt, guys.
That'll definitely play into the highlights of the week narrative. If you're annoyed that we keep repeating the same stuff on this show is not for you. Because sometimes we have busy weeks and we haven't had time to think of new stuff.
But do come back.
Yeah, just download it.
Keegan.
Let's have a website wound up.
So this week on thefootballramble.com, Paul Tisdale issues a challenge to Graham Wesley's title of the most ramble manager in the history of the world. Very on point. Craig Foster's innovative approach to mascot appreciation is greeted with the bafflement it deserves. Birmingham City completely misunderstand the point of club-related merchandise, and Kelly reckons she's found the magic of the FA Cup hiding in plain sight. You can follow her at Kelly Wells. She talks rubbish there too. Sorry, that's at Kelly_Wells.
Kelly had a great idea. She said, David Bowie should have been given the Ballon d'Or.
That'd be great.
Ronaldo would still be absolutely fuming.
Arsene Wenger commented on it, didn't he?
He was on the first one, yeah.
Arsene Wenger was. He said David Bowie was very important for people of my generation. His message was very important.
Oh.
Good man.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any more for any more? Nope. No. Say goodbye, Hang on. You can get in touch with this show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram and all the rest of it. Sorry, Jim. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.